Praise, praise, praise. I think all of you were here with us Tuesday night, which is cool. When last week we were ministering some on the subject of peace, part of the kingdom of God, the description that we've received from Paul about the kingdom of God was that it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And I thought last week that we had wrapped that up and we'd move on to something else. But Tuesday night while we were praying, it just seemed that we weren't quite through with that subject. So we're going to keep looking at that. You know, you could look at a subject for years, really, and still glean things from the scriptures. And so we can never be, we can never get to the point where we think, well, we've got that. We've got that subject down. We're going to move on to something. And so much of the body of Christ has what the Bible calls itching ears, meaning they're always looking for the new teaching that's out there. Like the new doctrine, the new emphasis. Not saying that God doesn't emphasize different parts of the word, because he does, but we have to be just as thrilled to hear what we've heard before.
Amen.
And so if you don't need to hear this, I need to hear this week. So we're going to look at some of these things, but we're going to start this morning in John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. And this was, of course, these chapters were when Jesus was, he was just sharing with his disciples before he was going to be crucified. And he was giving them such amazing insight about what was going to happen when he left, why he needed to leave, who he was going to send in his stead, in his place. And one of the things he said in these chapters is this verse here. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled.
Amen.
Neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave to you." Now Jesus was, of course, ministering to the Jews. No one had been born again yet. But he was giving them this hint. I mean, he carried peace with him. But he was giving them this idea that I'm leaving something for you to partake of. I'm giving something to you that you are going to be able to use and operate in. And he was alluding to this kingdom, which he had referred to many times, but he would say things like, the kingdom of God is like a woman who started looking for, you know, a pearl or something like that. He would use allegory, or he'd use some illustrations to try to tell people what the kingdom of God was like, because they weren't capable yet of understanding all that he meant. So when Paul came along and started writing down, seeing what Jesus preached, but he was born again, filled with the Spirit, and now ministering to Jews and Gentiles, and he started to see the fullness, and he didn't see all of it, but he saw a lot of what Jesus was really meaning, and that's why he gives us these better descriptors of the kingdom of God. Not just it's like a woman going to look for, you know, or somebody who's lost a sheep. It's not just a story, but he said, this is what the kingdom of God is.
Yes,
it's righteousness. It's peace. Yeah. and it's joy. And there's something to this kingdom that we can live in and operate from. Jesus left us this. He gave this ability to operate in his peace to us. And so Paul was like, this is amazing. The kingdom of God, it's not about meat and drink. And he, of course, you know, we've looked at that verse and he was saying, you know, it's not about the law and the rules and whether you can eat this or whether you can eat that or whether you shouldn't drink this or drink that. He said, that's not the point.
Right.
The point is he left us a spiritual kingdom from which we are all to be able to operate from.
Yeah. Right.
But if you don't know about it, you'll never access it. If you don't see it with your spirit, you won't be able to partake of it
Wow. The
way Jesus wants you to partake of it.
Amen.
So Jesus told us that this peace was available.
Mm-hmm.
Paul defined what this peace really is. It's the kingdom of God in you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's something that's within you that you can live in and operate from. And so that's why last week, remember, we talked about this kingdom actually being like an island that we live on. And it's our choice whether to get on the island and stay or to move back and forth from the mainland to the island. You know, it's everybody's choice whether we're going to get in the kingdom of God and stay there and operate from there, or if we're going to float back and forth.
Wow.
And, you know, for the majority of the body of Christ floats.
Yep. Sure.
Right? They might enjoy a bit of the peace of God and the presence of God when they come to him in prayer, or when they worship him during a service, and then they go right back to the way the world operates, and they go right back to thinking the way the world thinks for their daily routines. And so we've just got to learn to be aware of these two realms. And be asking the Father, you know, can you help us, Holy Spirit, to see when I'm stepping out of your realm and yielding to the other. And the reason I say that is because I don't know about you, but my week so far, I mean, just the past few days, I've had wonderful things stacking up in front of me to try and get me out of peace.
That's right.
And I know you've all had opportunities to do this too, and you can feel yourself, can't you? You can feel when you're being sucked off island, right? You're being pulled out of that realm of peace. And so last week we looked at Philippians 4, where he's told us, you know, don't be anxious,
don't be anxious.
About anything. That's a major statement.
Amen.
Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is an amazing thing. Can you turn to that for us, please? Philippians 4:6. And so much of the world doesn't know how to do this. Of course, the world doesn't, but I mean, just the Christian world. They don't know about this idea of putting off anxiety. So we dealt with that some last week. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So last week we talked about worry, anxiety. We're not supposed to do it, right? Fear. We're not supposed to do it. But it's easy to say, don't worry.
Sure.
Don't be afraid. Well, sure, that's great, except when the thoughts are bombarding in you and you're waking up. I woke up, I say in the middle of the night, it was only 11:15 last night. I woke up and everything was right here.
Yeah.
Everything that the enemy wanted me to be thinking about and to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. And I laid there for a while. I actually tried to put in, I put in my headphones to try and just listen to something to get myself back to sleep. Still wasn't asleep. I finally just got up.
Yeah.
Got myself to another room and just, you know, why? Because it's easy enough, you know, it was easy for Jesus to say, it's easy for Paul to say, don't be anxious. Right. But how do you stay in the island of peace? When all this stuff is coming at you. And while we were in prayer on Tuesday, what kept ringing in me while we were praying was that phrase, with thanksgiving.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
With thanksgiving.
Yes.
With thanksgiving. So if you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at another verse that we actually didn't get to last week. With thanksgiving, there's a key here to help us stay in peace when everything is bombarding your mind. When the darts, the fiery darts of the enemy start shooting at your brain, right? And all of us, no matter how far we've gone in Christ, all of us are going to have to deal with thoughts from the enemy at some point. Yeah. And I mean, circumstances come. And I don't know about you, the further I've gone in Christ, it's not that the tests get smaller. The trials get smaller. Actually, in reality, like the numbers get bigger. The situations look tougher.
Yeah.
But because we are more firm in our foundation of the word, it can be just as easy or easier to walk through those trials because of what you know.
Amen.
That's why we preach on it over and over, because we need to hear it. But Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule. Let it rule. Again, we're talking about a kingdom, right? Where a kingdom is a domain, it's a sphere of influence, and we have a ruler of that kingdom. The kingdom of the United States of America, the ruler, so to speak, is the President of the United States, and then all of the balancing the Congress, Senate, you know, how we've set it up, right? It's that government rule. The kingdom of God, his rule, he's supreme leader, right? But the checks and balances, or we could say the Senate and the Congress, peace, joy, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing about your right, knowing what the word says about who you are and how to conduct your life on this earth. That is our balance of power, so to speak. And so this peace is to rule. It's to reign in our heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. And look at this. Be thankful. Be thankful. So again, when we see these verses about peace, we also see this phrase with thanksgiving. Be thankful. And so as I was praying, I was just realizing that, you know, it's one thing to tell somebody, don't worry, don't fear. But how do we do that when everything's pummeling our brain so much so? Last night my body was feeling the effects of what the enemy was trying to bring fear with all the thoughts of what about this? What about, how are you going to do that? What's going to happen here? You know, this is the, you know, he just was going. And your body will quickly adapt to the pressure with symptoms. You know, and all of us might feel it differently. Your stomach might turn into a knot. You know, you might start physically shaking. Your heart, you might feel like your heart's beating irregularly. You know, some people have like panic and anxiety attacks, you know, and some people will be like, I didn't even know I was dealing with anxiety. I was just, I have a friend of ours who, she said, I was just in the post office picking up our ministry mail. And next thing I know, I was on the ground, thought I was having a heart attack. And they, you know, they had to call the emergency workers and they said, you're having a panic attack. So there's nothing physically wrong with you. And she's like, I didn't even think I was worried. But, you know, if we just think to ourselves when we sense those thoughts, when those thoughts are coming, if we just say to ourselves, I can't be worried. I can't be worried. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. If we're just, what are we emphasizing when we say things like that? We're so emphasizing fear, worry. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to worry. And that's what some people think of when they think of resisting.
Oh, wow.
Fear.
Wow.
Right? Resisting worry. I can't be anxious. I can't be anxious. I can't, I'm not supposed to be anxious. Jesus told me, don't be anxious, 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 yeah, anxious. Yeah, yeah. The more you say it, the more you're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And so I was realizing in these scriptures about talking about this peace ruling in your heart, he gives us a clue right in these scriptures how to stay in the realm of peace when your mind is being bombarded. And that is this idea of staying and being thankful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the reason, while we were praying on Tuesday, the reason this was coming up to me was because we were talking Tuesday, if you remember, about our testimony. Mm-hmm. And about how powerful it is to give glory to God, to look for his goodness. And we talked about Mrs. Goforth. You remember her? The missionary in China. And how she talked about one of her most memorable times in life was when there was a bunch of friends gathered and they just spent a couple hours talking about the goodness of God and what he'd brought them through and how he'd brought them out. And I've been reading some more chapters on that book, and it's amazing because the missionaries today face a lot of challenges. But oh my goodness, the challenges that were faced in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. I mean, it was just amazing. But I mean, she gives one chapter of them having to flee from a place that they had lived in for a couple of years in China because the entire country had decided that all missionaries, all Christians were evil. And I mean, you couldn't just hop on a plane and get out of Dodge. You had to, I mean, it was, they traveled by cart. Then they traveled by riverboat. Then they traveled by foot. Then they traveled by donkey. That, I mean, it was like, it took them weeks and weeks to get to a port where there was a steamship that could take them to a different country. And this whole time, they're having to stay in the peace of God. When you've got an angry mob outside the inn or wherever they're at, you know, throwing bricks at you. And so this idea that our testimony, this peace, is connected to our thanksgiving. Our testimony of his goodness. There's a key that we need to remember. So when the enemy starts to bombard our mind and make things so difficult to even think straight, we've got to stop and realize, wait a minute, I'm on the island of peace. Mm-hmm. And start just like the song we just sang, when I think about the Lord. How he saved me. Father, you saved me when I didn't think I needed to be saved. When I didn't think I needed you, you found me.
Amen.
And you showed me and opened my eyes. And then not only that, Father, but you gave me people in my life and you put different ministers in my life to show me that I didn't just need your word, but I needed your spirit and I needed to be baptized in your spirit. And you fill me with your Holy Spirit and allow me to, you know what I'm saying? You just have to start rehearsing the goodness of God.
Amen.
What he's done in your life.
Amen.
That will keep you on the island of peace.
Amen.
That will keep you centered in God's presence, in God's realm, in his kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When your mind is being bombarded. So last night, I had to get up. I had to go to a different room and just sit there and say, Father, I thank you. You've been so good to us. You've Amen. Always brought us through any financial stress, Amen. Any situation that's come up. You've always found a way to deliver us. And I had to start recounting different times in the past where he'd come through.
That's right. That's right.
And that brought the peace of God that passes understanding.
Amen.
And it guards your heart and your Amen. Mind in Christ Jesus so you can actually go to sleep.
Yes.
So there's this connection with not just saying, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not. No. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear.
Right.
But it's this idea of no, with thanksgiving. Let's start giving thanks for his goodness. Let's start remembering, recounting what he's done. This verse in the Amplified is tremendous. I hope this is all right this morning. Praise the Lord. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Look at this. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always.
Mm-hmm.
This piece is to act as an umpire. I love that phrase. It's in several different translations. The Wee Stephen talks about let that piece umpire your heart. So what does an umpire do in baseball? He decides what's safe, what's out, right? And the peace of God is supposed to be our umpire to the thoughts that come to our mind. But when you've got thoughts bombarding your mind, you need to get yourself to a place where peace is in full flow. And so this thanksgiving, this giving thanks, this turning away from the thoughts that are bombarding us and start using our mouth to vocally lift up and give thanks for the goodness of God and what he's done for you in the past, or what he says in his word he's going to do for you in the future. I mean, there's lots of different ways to give thanks. When we start to do this, that umpire of peace will come and he will literally bounce or kick out the negative, anxiety-stricken thoughts that are trying to come against you.
Yes.
Now, in times of great stress, we're going to have to start talking even more.
Yeah.
We're going to have to give more thanks. We're going to have to get louder in our declaration of how good God is to us.
Yes.
We're going to have to start grabbing stacks of green cards in the back and putting them out there to fill and say, you know, like, oh, bless God, this is going to be a good one. That, you know, we have to start looking for every place that God has been good to us and is being good to us today. Lord, you found me that parking spot's awesome. Thank God. Well, you know, whatever it is, we need to start getting to the point where thanksgiving is such a flow, glory to God, that we're letting that peace, that keeps that peace of God ruling in our hearts, and it allows it to umpire.
Amen.
It allows it to kick out that which has been bombarding us. And so I just wanted to encourage myself today and let you all hear that thanksgiving is huge.
Yeah.
It's a major player in staying in the kingdom of God, operating in the kingdom of God, in moving in the kingdom of God. Why is that so important? Because when there's situations that are coming up, crisis, when there's difficulties that are ahead, you need to hear from God what to do.
That's right.
And you will never hear from God when you're worried.
Yeah. Amen.
You're not going to hear clearly when you're yielding to fear.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know how to get to this island of peace and stay here. And thanksgiving is our ticket. We talked about don't buying the ticket to get off the island. But thanksgiving is our ticket to get back on the island if we find ourselves off.
Oh, that's good.
Okay?
Amen.
So, thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you. And not just general, but start getting specific with what he's done. So with this in mind, I want to look in Deuteronomy chapter 26, if we could. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And you might think, well, Pastor Amy, this is the Old Testament. This is where the law is written. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to me that God, even before people could be born again and operate in the kingdom of God, spiritually speaking, he gave them instructions on how to operate as best they could under their living situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he instructed so detailed on how they were to live. I mean, everything was written down.
Mm-hmm.
Even how they were supposed to bring offerings and come before the Lord. And that's what we're going to look at here in Deuteronomy 26. Because this is talking about when you're going to get into the promised land, what do you do? And so he says in verse 1 of chapter 26, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. Talking about the temple or the church, right? And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him. And what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to say something. So when they're bringing their tithe there first that has come out of the land, they're putting it in a basket, they're bringing it to church, and they're declaring something.
Yeah.
You're supposed to declare today to the Lord. Say, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. I like that. What do you say? I declare. And people think, well, that's ridiculous. You know you're in that land. You're standing there. No, no, no. God's teaching them how to stay operating in his goodness for that land. And part of it is what we say and how we talk about what God's done in our lives. I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And verse 5, and you shall make response before the Lord.
Yes.
So you're declaring, you're responding. Your mouth is active in this process of just bringing your offering.
Yes.
Yeah.
You shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father. Talking about Abraham. A wandering Aramean was my father. He went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous.
Yes.
And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord and the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And then you set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good. You shall rejoice in all the good. In all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, to you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. Amazing. Yes. You shall rejoice. There is a protocol with the Lord. There is a way to operate. And that's what Jesus was saying. I'm leaving you this peace. And then Paul said, this is what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. There's a key to how we operate in this righteousness, peace, and joy. And that is with our mouth, with our thanksgiving, with our response, with the fact that we are supposed to rejoice in all the good.
Yes.
In all the good. So how do we kick out fear, anxiety, worry? We've got to put our mouth to action. And not, I mean, it's fine to say, no, I understand the idea when thoughts come against you, you can respond to those thoughts.
Sure.
That's all right. You're supposed to, you know, if you know it's the enemy bombarding you, you can tell him to take off. You know, it's appropriate for you to use your mouth to tell Satan, no way, not here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that thought.
Yeah.
I refuse to take that thought.
Sure.
But after you've done that, what do you do? You can't just keep focusing on rejecting thoughts. That's not the appropriate protocol to stay in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Because like we said, then you're starting to focus on the worry and anxiety. You say, no, I'm not going to take it. I refuse to take it. But then we have to go to Philippians 4:6, and we have to let our request be made known to God. And then with thanksgiving, we have to make sure we get ourselves to this place of peace.
Amen.
Where
Amen.
Our mind is no longer troubled. And we don't stop until we're fully operating in this peace. And the way we do it is with our mouth. Father, you've been so good to me. You've never failed me. You've never, never left me out in the cold. What did David say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. You've got to start. You have to have an arsenal already built on
That's
the inside
right.
of you
Amen.
That starts coming out. Like a machine gun.
Wow. Yeah. Amen.
Father, you brought us, you called us to this place, and you gave us a house, and then when it didn't even look like we could get in it, you provided it anyway. You made a way for it to come to pass. And when you dealt with us to do this, it didn't look like it would ever be possible. And yet here we are.
Amen.
And that's what they're saying. We're standing on this land right here. You gave it to us. You told us about it back when we were in Egypt in slavery, and it looked like there was no way we would ever get out.
Right. Yeah.
But you stretched out your hand, and there was terror among the Egyptians for what amazing miracles you did.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
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 And so throughout the Old Testament, you'll see over and over, he says, remember the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt.
Yes,
remember the Lord your God who helped you cross the Red Sea. Remember,
yes.
And there's this idea of not just remembering like, oh, warm, fuzzy, that's great, God's so good, but you make response.
Yes.
You put it in your mouth. I put it in my mouth and I start recalling the goodness of God. And God, you brought me to this place and you put me here for this time. And so we know that everything you've called us to, you will fulfill. It's just amazing to me that God was so detailed before they even got to that land. He told them what to say. He told them how to conduct themselves in the presence of God when they were bringing their offering. He told them how to connect to this covenant of peace. And Isaiah tells us it is a covenant of peace. He has a covenant with us. What's a covenant? It's a it's a binding agreement between two parties. That's what a covenant is. And he had covenanted with the people of Israel to give them peace in Isaiah 54. And then Jesus reiterated that in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But learn, we have to learn how to operate in this peace. And I am preaching to myself today. I have to learn how to operate in this peace because that's where we hear from God. And so it's imperative. And our mouth connects. Doesn't James tell us, in James, it starts talking about our mouth as the rudder of a ship, right? Like a rudder of the ship. Our mouth steers our life.
Yes, it does.
And our mouth will steer us back to the island of peace, or it'll take us off course. And so we have to be ever careful about what we're saying. But it's not just not saying negative things. It's what are we saying? How are we steering our life? And thanksgiving, giving thanks, being thankful, remembering the Lord your God and all he's done, giving testimony to his goodness in your life. This is a major, major component of allowing the peace of God to rule, empire our life.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You have something you want to?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. I saw you finger in through there. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So if we want to be led by peace, if we want to hear from God, we have to learn how to get in this island and stay here.
That's right. Amen.
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 And our life's ambition, our lifelong goal will be to stay on island.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. And the more we dig down and start to develop this, and I know we know these things. I hear them over and over again myself, but I still need to hear it because anytime a temptation comes, anytime a test comes, you naturally want to do what's natural and focus on that problem and focus on how are we going to fix it and what's going to happen now. And we have to again remind ourselves, no, there's something else my mouth needs to be doing. So back to Philippians 4. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, of course, verse 7, it tells us the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus if we learn how to kick worry out, right? But in verse 8, it tells us, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever's honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. And I'll add to that, let's not just think about it, but let's put it in our mouth.
Yes.
Amen.
Talk about these things.
Amen.
Talk about these things.
Amen.
So, and you know, if your brain thinks like mine, I'm like, well, I am looking at what's true. These numbers are true. And they don't look good. These numbers are negative. And I need them to be positive, you know? But that's not what this truth is talking about. I'm not talking about natural facts in the natural kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the truth of God's word that supersedes what happens in the natural kingdom. We're talking about the truth of God, and we're talking about his purity, his justness, his goodness.
Amen.
And we're putting that in our mouth. Anything that's praiseworthy. Anything that's praiseworthy. And you know, I know some of you've been with us when we're out and about, you know, and something, you know, happens, this or that, and the first thing out of our mouth will be, well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Why? Because we've learned to put that in our mouth.
Yes.
But we can't just leave it there. Well, praise the Lord. You know? Okay?
That's right.
We can't just leave it there. We've got to keep going until we're not just giving the right response, but still disheartened at what just happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, preaching to me. But we have to get to the point, well, praise the Lord. Okay, I'll tell off of myself. Got a brand new car. I've already cracked it. Somehow, coming into my garage, my foot slipped. And instead of hitting the brake, it slammed on the gas. And I now have a great hole in my garage and cracks in the plastic of the Mercedes underneath. Bless the Lord. And so I know enough not to freak out.
Yes.
I got to stay in peace. But my head's like, now what are we going to do? It's going to be $1,000 in deductible. I don't have $1,000. No, 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 no. Now I've got to tell my husband who was away at the time. Now I've got to do this. No, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. And your mind starts going. And I can start with, well, praise the Lord. But I can't leave it there.
That's right. Right. That's right.
Because just saying the right thing once, but not having it come from a response. Why did, in Deuteronomy 26, why did he give him such a long thing to say? Why couldn't he say, you brought me into the land, thanks. Here's your offering, here you go. Why? Because so often of the time when we're bringing our tithe or we're saying, you know, our mind, there's been so many times where I put the check in and think I really could have used that. But here you go, Lord. I'm giving cheerfully. Are you? Am I? Well, praise the Lord. Really? Are you? Am I praising the Lord?
Yeah.
Or am I just saying praise the Lord? I had to come inside and say, Father, I thank you for your goodness. And there's been other times where our car has been dinged or messed up and you've always provided to get it fixed. And
that's
you've
right.
always taken care of it. And I am not going to worry and I'm not going to be upset. And I want to thank you for providing me this beautiful vehicle. And I had to get myself back to that land of peace. It's not just enough to say, well, I'm not going to worry about that. But it's getting your mouth involved with thanksgiving and rejoicing until you're to the place where, bless the Lord, I don't care what happens out there. I'm in peace.
Yes.
I'm in joy. I'm in the kingdom of God. And there is nothing that can hinder me from fulfilling God's call when I stay in his kingdom. When I let the peace of God rule in my heart. But it takes everything in you sometimes to get yourself to the point where your mouth is doing the right type of praise.
Amen.
Giving the right type of thanksgiving. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so I just wanted to encourage us this morning. About these, and there's so much in these verses. I mean, you could look at different scriptures, and different translations I have, and there's lots to do, but let's just take these this week at these verses that are familiar to us, but let's put them in our mouth again.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start realizing the power of our testimony, like we were talking about Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
And even jotting some things down as we're recalling. Because when we start to think about his goodness and start talking about it, more comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
And that's why Mrs. Goforth, when she was talking about her circle of friends, just sitting around for hours,
yes,
one-upping one another,
yes,
with testimonies of God's goodness.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be a missionary in China in the early 1900s to see God's goodness in our life.
Right. Yeah.
We don't have to come out of a deathly ill disease or even, you know, a terrible relationship to see God's goodness. But some of us have come out of those things. And God's so good.
God's
right?
So good.
God's so good.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I could keep going, but I'm not gonna. Hallelujah. I just, you know, we think about these things and realize whenever I hear my husband's testimony about how he almost died at 18, and the doctors could not find out what was wrong with him. God brought him out.
Amen.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
All of us have testimony.
Yes.
All of us have things that God's done for us.
Yes.
And the more we'll recount what he's done in the past, the more he can do for us in the future.
Yeah.
The more we'll stay in that island of peace, the more we'll be able to let him be the umpire of our life, and the farther we'll be able to go in the kingdom of God with him. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Feel like you've got something to add to that.
I'll just pray and dismiss.
All right. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy today. Lord, help us to put this into practice. Help us and teach us how to stay in your realm, in your kingdom, in your peace. And we want to thank you today for all that you've done. We want to thank you for all you've done in our own lives personally. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for filling us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you so much for giving us a place to live and to lay our head. Thank you so much for providing jobs. Thank you for all the people you've put in our lives and the relationships we have. Thank you for our spouses or our friends and our family and those that you put around us. Thank you, Father, for opening the eyes and the understanding of those that don't know you yet that are in our lives. Thank you for letting us be a part of their awakening. Thank you, Father, for helping us to know how and when to speak to others and lead them to you.
Yes.
Father, thank you for all that you're providing and doing for our lives.
Yes.
We're so grateful for it. We're so thankful for this peace that we can live in. We're so thankful that Jesus left it for us. Oh, glory to God. And we want to live there. We want to stay there. We want to be there with you always. And so we will continually praise and give you thanks for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.